From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The short video social media platform TikTok seems to be more popular than ever. A growing number of Americans, well more than 100 million, and say it's a source not just for entertainment, but also news. It's going on half the user base, says that. And that's put TikTok under scrutiny on multiple dimensions, whether it's pushing certain narratives over others and what it's doing with user data. That's in part because TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is Chinese, and there have been concerns about a potentially deep and direct link between the Chinese government and tens of millions of Americans. There have been attempts over the past few years to ban TikTok, but the idea gained more traction last week when a significant majority of the U.S. House, including most Illinois representatives, voted to pass legislation that could eventually lead to a ban on TikTok. To be sure, there's still plenty of opposition to the legislation and concerns over what a ban would mean. Here to talk about this is Professor Maurice Dawson. He's an assistant professor at the Illinois Institute of Technology and director of the Center for Cybersecurity and Forensics Education there. He's received multiple Fulbright Scholar Awards for cybersecurity. Professor Dawson, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
And listeners, you can join our conversation today by giving us a call at 800-222-9455, especially if you or someone in your life uses TikTok. What do you think about these concerns about TikTok and potential propaganda or cybersecurity? And what do you think about just banning TikTok outright? 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. All right, Professor, there's been a lot of talk over especially this latest round of discussion about TikTok over what its algorithm prioritizes in terms of what people see. How are you thinking about that issue?
Well, that is something that's true to be said, because we here in the United States, we use TikTok, but there is a Chinese version called Douyin, and that prioritizes different things. It prioritizes education. It targets a different age group. So it targets Gen Z and millennials, where here it targets Gen Z primarily. I believe 65% of the base for TikTok in America is Gen Z.
And there have been concerns about exactly what information it's pushing, right? I saw a comparison where TikTok apparently suppressed content about the Uyghur population in China, which the Chinese government has been accused of perpetrating a ethnic cleansing against, or genocide even. Also pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong. I guess the accusations more broadly are that TikTok might be putting its thumb on the scale of content. Also questions about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I wonder what you think about that.
Sure. So what's occurring, I would say, is a form of information warfare, right? So controlling information that gets in and out. And so that's one of the things, especially when you look and realize that there's two different versions of this app. And as we ban this app in this country, realize that in China, all Western apps are banned. So there's no Facebook, Instagram, none of that stuff. It's all banned. And so that's something that many Americans don't realize. So here, especially younger Americans, they just hear and see that we are banning TikTok. We are trying to suppress them. However, the country where this originates, they have banned everything from the Western world.
Of course, I suppose the counter argument would be that America is supposed to be the land of free speech. But I guess there's a degree of difference when you're talking about potentially a foreign government having a direct pipeline into American eyeballs and brains. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, that's correct, right? So let's step back and think about the Chinese initiative. I'm talking about the Belt and Road Initiative. And this is a vast global network of infrastructure intended to enable the flow of trade, people, and ideas between China and the rest of the world. Technology is one of the banners under the Digital Silk Road, and it's a key component of that particular project.
And say more about when you say technology, you mean in terms of like spreading the Chinese government message or what do you mean by that?
So when I say technology, I'm talking about everything, right? Hardware, software, services can be offered via the internet. If we look at the African continent, For example, we can see how a number of these initiatives have actually worked. Have they been in favor of these countries? Have they not? And so we should use those African countries as a base to say, all right, well, this happened in this country. This is what's going on. There's been disinformation. This particular Chinese company helped build this particular building, and they've been reported to hack into particular files, monitor individuals coming in and out. And I'm talking in particular to the African Union building, which houses 54 African countries. And that was a gift from the Chinese to the African continent. And they used it to spy on all these African nations.
Okay, well, so that gets into data collection, and that's another aspect that people have been talking about with TikTok. What do we know about what TikTok collects in terms of data from its users?
Well, it collects a number of things, right? So when you look at the actual app and the various permissions, you're accessing the camera, the microphone, Wi-Fi connection, GPS coordinates, such as your latitude, longitude. It also has the ability to access other apps in your device and to change the order of the apps running. Now, a number of researchers have they found no evidence that TikTok abuses this ability. However, they have the ability to do a lot of items on your mobile device, whether it's Android or iOS.
What does that mean, change the order of the apps running?
So you can prioritize apps in terms of what needs to run first or things of that particular nature. So it can do that.
And I guess, does that mean that it can be updated more frequently? What is the end user consequence of that
Well,
change?
the end user may not even realize what's going on, but one app could be prioritized to run over the other. If you're using your desktop and you open a image and it says, all right, well, which particular application is going to open an image, that's one thing, right? Then if you're looking at apps and what's being prioritized, in terms of like your processor, what you're giving, RAM, whatever to run, it can choose what item runs.
Okay, so if all this, so there's that, there's also this data being collected. You mentioned longitude and latitude. What do we know, or what don't we know about what is being done with that data?
Well, that's the problem, right? So we understand that ByteDance has strong ties to the Chinese government. We don't know what data they're actually giving them, right? We didn't have the ability to see the classified report that was presented, but one could assume that the amount of data that it gets, you can do quite a bit with. And you can do a little bit with little data, right? So I'll give an example of another social media app, application, Facebook. When you post on Facebook, you can give latitude, longitude. They strip metadata now, but you can give items that provide types of behaviors, who's in your network. TikTok has access to your entire phone log, so when you log into something, it will show all those particular connections, right? So now you can say, all right, well, Dawson is connected to these five individuals. We can say, oh, this one individual has the ability to work. He's working in the government. So now we know we need to target this individual. And so you're able to do what they call like link analysis and find out who is doing what and then further dig deeper.
Is TikTok unique in this, or like you mentioned, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, are they doing the same thing?
Well, many apps are doing the same thing, right? A lot of people don't read the end user license agreement, and that's a huge issue. A lot of younger people, they do not have a problem with accepting the permissions because they just want to use the app, right? They're young. They really don't understand the ramifications. Like, okay, well, what are they going to steal? I'm sharing data anyway. It's no big deal because they're very accustomed to that. The problem is when a particular government has reach into that organization.
So it's one thing if it's Facebook, which is a domestic American-based company. It might be
Correct.
another in this experience. Okay, so I did mention, at the start, there are these concerns about a link between TikTok and the Chinese government. I guess we should note TikTok has claimed many times that it's never received an inquiry for Americans' data from Chinese authorities. It's also said it would deny any requests like that. Maybe you can talk through some of the concerns, though, about what you've heard from lawmakers, what people are worried about if the government has access to this sort of data.
Well, when we talk about TikTok hasn't done this, right? Let's look at Huawei. So Huawei's parent company, Huawei has, put in
This is
lots of
a
their.
cyber a telecommunications company, right? Maybe we should explain
That's
to
correct.
listeners
Huawei does
briefly.
telecommunications. So they have a strong partnership with the Chinese government. They have a subsidiary that they use to provide a country that we don't work with technological advancements. And so if you see this play out in one company, it's difficult to say, all right, well, this other company is going to be able to say no to the Chinese government when the Chinese government has all control in China. So that becomes the issue. It's like, okay, you say you're not going to do this. However, we know you're based in China. We know that the government is right there, of course. They're going to have the ability to get what they want. And it hasn't been a instance where we heard that a particular company in China has said, no, we're not going to provide this.
I've heard also heard though that if China really wanted this sort of data on Americans, and this was actually I'm gonna just look to a New York Times piece that was written the other day, somebody said, they could just buy this information from data brokers in the U.S. because we have non-existent federal data privacy laws. I wonder what you think about that.
I mean, it depends on what data that individuals are able to actually, capture, right? We have breaches all the time, but what data actually gets put out there? Having live access to TikTok would allow you to have instantaneous data of millions of individuals. I think over about 150 million users in the United States. So that's a lot, rather than waiting for some third party to upload this to the dark web or something like that.
Okay, so let's now talk about this possibility of a ban potentially on TikTok. And we should be clear that the legislation that passed the House would not necessarily ban TikTok outright, at least not right away. Can you talk about what it would do?
Well, I think what it would do is halt downloads, remove it from the App Store. The problem is, even with a ban, you would still be able to get the app. You can sideload apps, which in turn makes your device even more vulnerable, because now you're going through an unapproved method to install an application.
And what, I mean, one of the other things we've heard is that maybe this would force TikTok to sell its business to an American company. I wonder if you have a perspective on that. In some sense, that could make Google or Facebook even more powerful if they were one of the, billion dollar, well, multi-billion dollar buyers of this very valuable company.
I mean, that's the worries. I mean, the worry is that, if they do sell, do you make another company in the States essentially a monopoly and give them even more power? So that becomes that issue. But it still seems like a safer, it's safe. It's like you have two evils, but it's safer than actually having this organization be controlled and in China.
And if that doesn't happen, I mean, if there is this refusal, as some have said, that Chinese government would never let ByteDance divest in this way, at least not with the algorithm intact. I wonder what happens to Americans? What happens to your students, for example, who use this app, presumably, if they are typical young people all the time? Are they going to see it disappear from their phones? Are they going to not be able to use it anymore? What would you expect to happen, and how would this unroll?
Well, so technically, it wouldn't disappear from the phones. It would be removed from App Store. So individuals would have to go in roundabout ways to download the application, which they may do. And so doing that would create a huge security issue within the United States for younger individuals who have this on their mobile devices.
And that's because downloading through an app store, at least I'm more familiar with the Apple environment myself. There are certain security provisions that theoretically Apple is testing before they allow something into their store, whereas what they call sideloading an app would be a different process that could open the phone up to more hacking. I mean, is that, I'm putting it colloquially, but is that what you're trying to say there?
Correct. So when you sideload an app, you are generally installing a program that goes in a roundabout way to access your your mobile device. You're basically giving it, like Linux users would say, like sudo or super user, right? You're giving it root. And so when you're doing that and you're installing a program that should not be trusted, and probably shouldn't be trusted, You have no clue what else the app is actually doing, that particular program is doing. And now you're running that TikTok, but now there will be issues in terms of getting updates, security updates for TikTok and stuff like that, because it's not going through an approved platform. So you may be running a version of TikTok that has no security updates, that may have a number of vulnerabilities, and especially 0-day vulnerabilities that can be exploited. And that can be an entryway into other applications on the device or even to a home or business network, right? The mobile device serves as what we call a personal area network. So you're looking at like 30 feet, right? It's a personal area network. When that mobile device enters a university campus and they're authenticated to be on the campus network, now they're on the campus network. And now you've changed your threat landscape. And now, with all these devices having these security issues, you've just introduced many threats into the network.
Not just campuses, but hospitals and power plants and every other sort of thing you can imagine. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll talk more about the legislation making its way through Congress. It passed the House, has not passed the Senate, has an uncertain future that would potentially ban the app TikTok here in America. We're talking about this with Professor Maurice Dawson from the Illinois Institute of Technology. More when we return. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the push, the renewed push to ban the app TikTok here in the United States. Now, I may be oversimplifying it to say it's a ban. TikTok could potentially sell to an American owner and evade the ban. And if it was so quote unquote banned, it could just be removed from app stores. There could still be ways for Americans to access TikTok. And this is important in part because this is a huge platform, well more than 100 million users here. There was a Pew survey late last year that somewhere between 40 and 50% of the users, I don't have the number off the top of my head, said that they do use this as an important source for not just entertainment, but for news. And so that has a lot of people concerned over how TikTok's algorithm prioritizes certain stories over other. Plus, there are concerns over data. What is TikTok collecting and what is it doing with that data? And especially given that the company, as many Chinese companies do, has links to the government. All right, we are talking about all this with Maurice Dawson, who is a professor at the Illinois Institute of Technology and director of the Center for Cybersecurity and Forensics Education there. He is a multiple Fulbright Scholar Award recipient. And you can join our conversation today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right. I want to come back to this idea of, potentially removing it from app stores. There were similar conversations a couple of years back about banning some Russian apps and companies, even after the Russian war on Ukraine escalated a couple of years ago. There were companies that removed Russia Today from their app stores, as an example. Okay, RT is it's a propaganda outlet, and TikTok is a platform, but I wonder what parallels or differences you see between what happened then and what we're talking about now, potentially with TikTok.
Sure. So with Russia TV, Russia has something they call active measures, right? So this is a term, it dates back to the 1920s, and it deals with operations such as espionage, propaganda, sabotage, and assassination, right? Active measures was something that later got noticed, but the US government created only a small department to counter this. Now, when you look at countries that border Russia, especially in the Balkan region, you'll see that these countries offer like a service to educate their population about fake news. They'll debunk fake news. They're like, all right, this was said, this particular item was said by the Russian government or Russian news. It is fake. And so they're educating people, right? And so when you look at that, and then you look at TikTok in terms of disinformation, there's nothing that does that here. Right, we can see with like the last election what occurred in terms of understanding fake news and stuff like that. People did not have the ability to know what is real and what is not. Only later on were there on certain platforms they would say, all right, well, they did a fact check. That wasn't done before. Anybody could say anything, and that was one of the issues. And so when you realize that a number of Americans, a significant amount of Americans, are getting their news from social media platforms that is not fact-checked, it's an issue. So imagine an algorithm that says, all right, we know this individual is worried about another civil war. Let's send or show videos concerning this. And so now you're planting a seed, and that seed grows more and more. Now you can use that to not do even do this physically, but have them think in a different manner that changes their actions, right? It's psychological warfare. So you're able to plant seeds that are able to change actions, political actions. And so that's something that can be done fairly easy with something like TikTok. When you think about Russian TV, the problem is with Russian TV is not, it's something that you have to watch, right? You have to actively go out, go to Russian TV, watch RT, where TikTok people are using it anyhow to make videos, dance videos, maybe sell merchandise. However, since that it's able to push items, it's a lot different
And
and
it's,
much more, I believe, powerful.
yeah, and it's maybe just the way I've heard it described is like a thumb on the scale, right? Maybe you convince young people that America isn't so great. Now, one of the problems here, though, is that maybe there are legitimate reasons for, it's raising legitimate issues, right? The be it the Israeli Palestinian conflict. I mean, there is a major humanitarian crisis there, and yet some people have pointed to this as saying it's sort of trying to turn younger Americans away from support of Israel. I don't know if you want to weigh exactly in on that very divisive topic right now, but I wonder how you think about that, or maybe do you see that as an illustrative potential example of how, an app like this could shape perspectives among its users?
Well, I'll say this in terms of shaping perspectives, the biggest issue is the foundational educational system, right? So if we were educating individuals to understand the limitations of these apps, what they should be used for, I think we'd be better off, right? If we say, hey, this app is just for gaming or making videos, that's all you should be concerned with this app for, regardless of what else is pushed via the app. The problem is we don't do that, and that becomes the issue where individuals seek information, and but they're seeking information in the wrong places.
Yeah. All right. Well, as we're coming to the end of our time together, for people who are hearing this, maybe they do use TikTok, maybe they eat Tic Tacs, or they use the TikTok app or other social media apps. What can people do to protect themselves from being unduly influenced by algorithms, whether for commercial reasons or propaganda reasons?
Well, I would say the one thing is to educate yourself about certain things. When you think about issues in the Middle East or Africa, it's key to understand like what's really going on. Like, how much are you expecting to learn in a 15-second clip? That's the thing. Like, how much are you expecting to learn? If you're able to go out and do your own research, all right, well, let me understand what's really going on between Israel and Palestine, right? What's actually going on there? What are the issues? What's going on between Russia and Ukraine? Understanding that the actual issue at large would help a lot to dispel these particular items that show up via TikTok. And I think that's one of the key things. So it's not counting on someone else to educate our citizens. It's us being able to educate our own citizens and say, hey, well, you need to go look at X, Y, and Z. You need to look at this particular source. This source is trusted. And I think that would solve a lot of these issues. And then we won't have to worry about a TikTok ban if younger people and even people my age group and above knew where to get reliable information from and be able to say, all right, well, this is not real. This is, makes no
Yeah.
sense.
All right.
And
Maurice
that's a big
Dawson.
issue.
Maurice Dawson is a professor at the Illinois Institute of Technology. Thank you for being with us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.